Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. So one of my least favorite things as someone who goes out sometimes, but not as much anymore, is getting to an establishment and then being like, oh, well, to get in the door, you have to pay $20.
Oh, a cover charge.
Mm-hmm.
The cover charge.
The cover charge. And I think it's the stupidest thing. And it's like, I don't care enough about you to
like. It sounds like you've had it with cover charges.
Well, we can't say that, but yes.
Oh, I mean, we can. We can, because we do love the I've had it ladies so much. And yeah.
Well, I am incensed most of the time because it's like, that's like, oh, you need to pay me to be my friend. Like, no. Right. I can find friends all by myself. Thank you very much.
That's
where
right.
I don't have to pay them.
Yeah. It's like paying for community essentially is kind of what it is. Now, I do understand that, like, you know, local places need to charge a cover to, you know, stay in business and whatnot. And that's part of the business model or whatever. And
it's a bad model for business.
I don't love it. I still don't love it. I remember I was with our friend Ben and we were in upstate New York, way upstate. There was a queer bar and we decided to go and we got there and we could see the bar was empty and they were like, oh yeah, the cover is $20. And we went, there's no one here. What?
There's no one here.
There's no one here.
You leaned into your upstate.
I did. And we were like, there's nobody here though. And they were like, it doesn't matter. And we were like,
no,
they don't even charge this much in like Hell's Kitchen. Like nobody. No, I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
So we did not go.
Yeah, I just feel like it's like an insult to injury sort of thing, I guess. I'm like, well, what services are you providing for $20?
Access.
Just nothing. It's just access.
Just access.
And I'm like, no, no.
No. I don't love it either.
No.
I don't love it. It's a racket.
It is a racket.
It's a total racket. Mm-hmm.
I can go to Dunkin' Donuts and use that $20 for something else.
Right. All week.
I can
eat Dunkin' Donuts all week. If not a few times, a couple weeks with that. It's a lot and it's nonsense. And I'm a little bit like, is there a way to turn the cover charge into like something else? Like,
well, sure. The cover charge is, it's a $20 cover, but that is being used to donate to this charity.
Yeah, there we go.
Or it's
like
a $20 cover, but you get this t-shirt and, you know, party favor bag at the end when you walk out the door.
You just want to feel special.
I do. I want to feel special. I'm like, I want at the end of the kid's birthday party when I was a child, like, here's your favors bag. And I'm like, oh my God, look at that.
So I think we need to talk about the birthday you went to where you did not get a favors bag because clearly that happened.
Well, clearly.
Clearly.
It did.
It did.
And clearly gifts are important.
And apparently everyone else got a favors bag and they ran out and you didn't get one.
It's true.
And you've remembered it
and
now.
I have.
You have. You've incorporated
They're in
it
my
now
burn book.
into your burn book.
Yep, exactly.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real. You can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national parks.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land also known as Wind Cave National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Oglala, Lakota, Cheyenne, Osheti, Chicoan, Mini-Kosiu, and many other indigenous people.
So, if you joined us for our last episode in Wind Cave, you heard all about our time on the fairgrounds tour, which is a tour that you can take in Wind Cave. There are several different types of cave tours. The fairgrounds was recommended to us when we were there. It's kind of like an all-encompassing. You're going to kind of get the most bang for your buck, see a lot of the Wind Cave system. We could have done, I think, a second tour that day, but rangers were like, you'll be fine with just this one. You don't need to do multiple. I mean, definitely if that is something that you want to do and that's available, do multiple tours. Like,
absolutely.
The cave is really cool and it's definitely worth it. It's sort of like the same with Mammoth Cave. Like, I do think if that is your jam and you love tours and you love caves, then I would try to see as much as possible. I think our time was limited here, so we were kind of like, well, let's see what the above ground part of the park has to offer as well.
Absolutely. So we decided to do just that. We had just exited the tour. We had wiped our feet on the soapy mats because of white nose syndrome, mm-hmm. which is a syndrome that affects mice and also bats. And so... Mm-hmm.
No, that's brown nose syndrome for me.
That's right. That's it. That's right. And so while there are not a ton of trails in this park, there are a few. And there were a few that were relatively close. There was one right by the visitor center called the Prairie Vista Trail that we wanted to do.
So we were all geared up from the cave. So the cave is at like, what did you, I'm pretty sure you were like somewhere in the 50 degree mark.
55, like steady.
Consistently.
Yeah.
This was something where we were layered up. I think we probably just had shorts on, but like had top layered, if I remember correctly. The only way for us to do any sort of hiking at this point, because it was warm out this day.
Oh,
it was July in South
hot.
Dakota. And yeah. Prairies, my friends. So we quickly made our way back to the car to ditch some gear before we decided to hit the trails.
And also, prairies mean not a lot of trees.
Yeah.
So you're just in
grassland.
The sun the whole time.
Yeah.
Grassland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you were glad you finished that milk because that car was hot when we
car
got back
to it.
Car was hot.
Mm-hmm. Car was very hot.
Yeah, that would have been some spoiled milk.
After we adjust what we were wearing and get our packs on, we make our way behind the visitor center, which is where like you go to get onto the Prairie Trail.
But it's also like the elevator house is also behind the visitor center. So
correct.
It's like kind of like a connecting path.
There's a
like,
paved sidewalk
yeah,
there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that was mentioned on the fairground tour to make sure to see was the natural entrance to the cave.
Right.
Which is a sacred space for the Lakota people.
Mm-hmm. This natural entrance is not like the natural entrance of Mammoth Cave National Park because it's not a space that you can just walk into like Mammoth Cave, but it does factor into the origin story of the Lakota people. Specifically, it's like that this entrance or opening was the emergence point for their people.
This particular story is not our story to tell, but we have heard this story. We've looked up this story. We have watched the videos and read all the writing from the Lakota Nation partners who work with the Wind Cave staff. All of that is published on the Wind Cave website as well as elsewhere. And we highly recommend you go take a listen because it's a really, really interesting, fascinating story to listen to.
Mm-hmm. And it is an incredibly easy, accessible space to see while you're at Wind Cave. So it's something to definitely do. Just take the moment or two to get behind the visitor center and head to the natural entrance.
Okay, so after winding further down the path, we eventually intersect with the Prairie Vista Loop. This loop was labeled as a moderately strenuous 1 mile hike.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very excited on this day, mm-hmm. and I need to explain why. Because up until this point in our hiking, we had done on this,
was
trip,
on our giant five-week
road trip. So we had just finished doing, we did
Theodore Roosevelt.
Well, but even before that, we did
Indiana Dunes.
Indiana Dunes, which was quite a bit of hiking.
Yeah.
Then we did Theodore Roosevelt, then Glacier, then Yellowstone, then Grand Tetons, then Badlands,
yeah.
Which Badlands, while mostly flat, still quite a bit of hiking.
In the hot sun.
In the hot sun. So I was convinced that this was basically the end of our hiking for the rest of, like, we were coasting now through the rest of this trip.
Sure, because we
was
had
hilarious and untrue.
Right, because the remainder of this trip included Gateway Arch and Mammoth Cave and
Smokies.
And some downtime to just become people again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did quite a bit of hiking in Smokies. Plenty in Mammoth Cave, though not strenuous the way it was in, like,
just underground
Grand Tetons.
Yeah.
But I was excited about this, like, oh, it's a moderately strenuous 1 mile, we're gonna be fine.
Yeah, well, also remember your boots had basically fallen apart.
Oh, they
and they had been glued together and taped together and
within an inch of their life.
Yeah,
basically. And they're just like,
so you're like, oh, I can just wear sneakers.
And I did wear sneakers.
And we
here.
Did, because it was sort of like, oh, we can get on, like, this is mostly paved and or it's very, like, it's like a dirt path, so we're not gaining a lot of elevation. We're going to just wear sneaks. And I think we were both bag fatigued at this point, too. I didn't want to put a pack on anymore. As much as we could, we were sort of like,
done.
We've done 3 heavy weeks of hiking without stopping. If it was if it wasn't hiking, it was driving incredible hours. So we're like, let's just see how we do here. And that's exactly what we did.
The trail is a really beautiful picture. Picturesque walk through a prairie landscape. After an initial start, we cut across a picnic area loop road right before we begin the trail, like, proper. And there are plenty of spots to see various prairie flowers in bloom, at least they were here in mid-July.
It's sweeping grassland, even though you're close to civilization. By that, I mean, like, park headquarters and, you know, visitor center. But we did. We had a lot of, like, I have plenty of photos of just, like, flowers in bloom amongst the grass, which was really very beautiful. The path starts, while it starts very wide, it eventually narrows as you walk through pockets of prairie grass, and they're just all different shades of green. So I know that you hated it. You just, total distaste.
True.
Along the way, as we're walking, there is some interpretive signage. One sign talks about the difference between how the indigenous people of this land and the settlers who came to this land had many differences between them. Shock of shocks, hello. But it specifically talked about how the indigenous people of the land, also known as South Dakota, viewed the area and how the landscape was a boon to them, how they were able to utilize the landscape, how they had become harmonious with the landscape, and the settlers that came in had just utter disdain for the prairie. They viewed it as the grassland desert, basically. They're like, this is dumb, and could not connect to that landscape or utilize it.
And I feel like it's mostly because there weren't trees that they could chop down and turn into, like, usable lumber.
Sure.
One, amid other things. I would recommend, go listen to our trail mix on the science of grasslands that we did during the suite of Teddy Roosevelt episodes from last season, because something that we mentioned there is how grasslands actually are better at removing CO2 from the air and storing it better even than trees. And so, like, grasslands can be a real help and aid in our battle against climate change.
That we have created.
That we have created, right. But it was a really great introduction to grassland hiking, which we had gotten some in Badlands. We'd also gotten some in Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
That's true.
And I really enjoyed this grassland hiking because I just think it's, like, so exciting anytime we get to hike in new terrain. Grassland is its own unique terrain. And, like, hiking among it is really so much fun.
Yeah.
I love it. What did you enjoy about grassland hiking?
I liked that it was different. I feel like we hike a lot of the times we're just like, oh, this is so great. It's mountainous and, like, look at the views and, like, oh my gosh, here's this, like, waterfall or look at the trees. And this was very much so. You had to appreciate this in a very different sort of way because it is very flat. You can just see for miles. I say that somewhat sarcastically in some ways, because we had a lot of, this was something we encountered in Theodore Roosevelt too. We had a lot of haze, even on this day. I just remember it being hazy, you know, something that's talked about too in a lot of these parks where you should be able to see for miles is, well, you know, the environment has changed and climate has changed and this haze didn't used to be a thing that like disrupted views. That being said, you can still see very far. It is wild to have such openness. The only other thing that I can think of is like standing at the edge of like the Great Lakes or the Atlantic or the Pacific and just looking out into the sea and just seeing the same thing. And it's sort of like that. So it's, there's a peace in that, I find, that quiets the mind, because in a hiking environment where there are trees and mountains and boulders and things like that, I feel like your brain is more active to try to figure out, well, how am I surmounting this? What am I doing to get around that? Oh my God, look at that tree. It's almost like your brain is in overload. And here I just feel like because there's so much similarity, it is a state of calm. That's what I enjoy about grasslands.
You can almost hear the lapping of the waves of the grassland sea.
So we get to a point as we wind back where we can see the visitor center and the buildings that surround it. And as we get closer, we start to wind down from the little bit of elevation that we had gained. And we mean little bit of elevation. Mm-hmm. First on some rougher pathways and eventually like back to some stone steps and some paved path.
This ended up being like a perfect little taste of these prairie trails for us within the park. And it was convenient because it was right behind the visitor center. So it's definitely something to definitely look at if you're at Wind Cave, even though it's labeled as moderately strenuous. It was a nice, lovely little trail to do.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made our way back through and to the car and headed off to our next trail.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Okay, so we're playing Commission an Album.
It's been a minute.
Commission an Album is a
literally fun, haven't done it this season at all.
No. Mm-hmm. It's a fun, flexible game. Mm-hmm. So essentially what you do is you want to pair a musical artist with a piece of source material to create an album.
Mm-hmm.
And you could either start from nothing or you could give somebody a source material or an
artist. Yeah.
I think I want to give you a piece of source material.
Great.
And I'm wondering if you could give me an artist.
Okay.
Okay, great.
I'll try to do that.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready, Mike?
I am
We
ready.
Have uncovered the unpublished poetry and journals of Emily Dickinson. And
sad girl stuff.
Uh-huh. And so what artist are you going to bestow the source material to produce an album based on it?
Oh, sad.
I mean, Emily Dickinson, she kind of like celebrated the like her own sadness and sort of personified it and sort of like it was sort of like she gave it legs and it walked around.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like an obvious choice would be Florence because she could, you know, I feel like embody also as a Brit.
Well, Emily Dickinson was American.
also, I feel like she can understand the sorrow. Did you like that save?
Great save. Great save.
So I feel like that, but I'm kind of, there's a part of me that's like, let's resurrect Paula Cole and give her.
I mean, she's, Paula Cole is still around.
No, fully. I know, but I'm just saying, like, her career, I feel like she had her moment in the 90s and sort of didn't disappear completely, but stepped away from the spotlight.
And then maybe we could, like, bring back Lilith Fair. She could premiere the album at Lilith Fair.
I love
Fair.
That.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm into that. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I was a little too young for Lilith Fair, but had I been a Gen Xer at that time and, mm-hmm. like, that of that age to be able to go, that is a music festival I would have gone to.
Oh, of course. Because you are Lilith Fair. Everyone is Lilith
Fair. Everyone is Lilith Fair. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that, but
no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, great.
So I am going to give you an artist now, and I would like you to pair them with a piece of source material.
Great, I'm ready.
And that artist is Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay, great. Okay, I've got it. Okay. And maybe this is just like inspiration from her, you know, newest album, which, dear Lord, her newest album is amazing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we have to go with the poetry of Sappho.
Okay.
Because I want to see what Janelle Monáe would do with that. Mm. Just the sort of like the language, the Sappho was doing some really interesting things with words. Janelle Monáe does incredible things with words and also music and also beat and rhythm and melody and all of it. And so I just want to see that and see where that goes. Mm. So there we go.
Great.
The poetry of Sappho.
And that's Commission an Album.
There are a few more long trails on the surface of Wind Cave National Park. And after finishing up the Prairie Vista Trail, we decided we wanted to hike a little bit more despite the heat.
Originally, we had bookmarked the Lookout Point Trail, which was not too far from the visitor center. It was 4.5 miles of hiking.
Now, when we drove into the park, we came in on 385, which would take one south of the park before driving one up north to the visitor center. Our plan from here was to head to Custer State Park and then to the Mount Rushmore area. In order to get to Lookout Point, we had to get on 87.
87 also runs through the park. It's like the road that you can continue north on. If you were to stay on 385, it would take you west out of the park. So the Lookout Point Trail is almost immediately on 87. So we drive to the trail lot and sit in the car for a minute or two. And this is where it was clear that 3.5 weeks of intense hiking had sort of like started to catch up with us, because we tried to muster energy.
This was so funny because we drove here and we went, yeah, we're here. And neither of us opened a door. Neither of us did anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We just sort of sat there and like waited for the other one to initiate.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, just like our marriage. A lot of the lot here is small and overgrown. And we just sort of, like as Dusty said, just sat in the car. And I think it partly was the trip catching up with us. I also think it was 50 degrees in the cave. And then it was like high 80s, low 90s out this day. And we're like, this might be a little too abrupt to want to hike 4.5 miles through grassland at this moment. And I think we were both riding the, God, it was so nice to just be in sneakers. God, it was so nice to not have a pack on energy. And so we're like, I don't think this is for us today. I think we need to find something else that's shorter. So looking at the map, we realized that there is another trail. It's all the way at the top of 87 before we exit the park that looked way shorter and sort of in our wheelhouse for the day. It was sort of similar in distance from what we could tell on the map, because we didn't have service at this point, like what the Prairie Vista Trail looked like. So we're like, okay, let's drive there.
We head to the Rankin Ridge Trail. The trail had a fire tower at sort of a midway point, and it did involve some initial incline, but it wasn't really anything we needed to like muster too much energy for. These are things we could tell from the map.
Yeah, the lot was also like a proper paved lot. It was a pretty big lot, because this must be a trail that a lot of people come to, considering it's short. After we parked in the lot, we decided that we can just take water with us again, not have to throw hiking boots on. We didn't really do packs either, so we just kind of were like, let's go for it, just with a bottle of water each and sneakers.
After leaving the paved part of the lot and making some of the initial incline, we eventually found our way into like a dense-ish like pine forest, which we were so grateful for because we were able to get some shade. The other nice thing about this trail is that it was only 1 mile.
Right. A loop again.
And a tiny little loop.
But it did label it as moderately strenuous again. This right. was sort of the... This is where we were living our life today. Moderately strenuous.
Right. Uh-huh. Though comparatively, we were like, well, if this is moderately strenuous like the last one was, this is going to not be too difficult for
right.
for us today.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very happy to be doing this instead of 4.5 miles.
Yeah. After hiking up a little bit, we are basically on a ridgeline and we get some better views of the landscape that's in front of us and to our sides. And this is where we really start to see the rolling black hills that are all around. And the views are pretty incredible. Driving up 87 here, we got a lot of prairie, but we didn't get a lot of like distant views because we were at a little bit more elevated here on the trail.
So eventually we get to a rockier section of the trail and that we don't necessarily have to scramble over, but it is marked by boulders on either side. But it's also where we get some really gorgeous views over to our left.
Mm-hmm. And then this leads us to a set of stone steps, which is definitely some grunt work, but it's better than some of the more intense things we had done in like Tetons and Yellowstone. And it was a nice way to essentially take us right up to the crest of the hill, which gives us the best view, I think, of kind of the Black Hills that we got
yes.
in the park. It just is like distant prairie, rolling hills. There were a lot of pine trees that dotted the distance in the landscape, which was interesting considering we had really just seen a lot of grassland. But clearly this part of the park kind of leading up into what would become Custer State Forest is obviously forested. So it was sort of like a mix of what we had seen initially in Wind Cave down by the visitor center and driving in and driving up 87 to what we were going to see.
And considering how like hot it was kind of surprising how green everything was.
Right? I was like, yeah, kind of. I mean, we did have that giant thunderstorm that rolled through when we were driving into Badlands 2 days prior to this and a whole season prior to this in episode right. canon. But yeah, like it just was lush, like lush and green. I thought it would be like more brown and like yellows yeah. at this point of the yeah. year. But
no.
The science of grasslands.
Very
and also
green.
Evergreens.
Correct.
Yeah.
It was also one of those like hills where it's like, okay, well, if it's covered in snow, it'd be fun to sled down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Certainly.
You'd have to dodge some boulders and trees, but
yes,
you could make it work.
But I think, generally speaking, if one is curious about doing a hiking trail at Wind Cave, this would be a great one. Because
yeah.
one, it's super short.
Yep.
You can do it in like 20 minutes. And you get some great views.
Yeah.
You get some great views
yeah.
and a good walk with some shade.
Yeah, yeah. We are basically mostly in shade at the top of the hill because the trees are on the ridgeline right behind us. And just based on this time of day, we kind of hit the jackpot here, which was nice as we approached the fire tower, which we could not climb. But I always appreciate a fire tower in the landscape. I don't know. There's something
I like it too.
It's this like moment of
checkpoint.
Yeah, checkpoint. But it also is like a weird sort of like, here's this natural landscape. And all of a sudden, here's this metal structure that just like feels mm-hmm. out of place. But it's there's something comforting about it. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's just me, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some fire towers you can climb, but it seemed like this one we could not climb. Naturally, we did not do that. A pretty wide dirt road leads us away from this fire tower with some more beautiful views of mm-hmm. the Black Hills mm-hmm. in the distance. And then we eventually continue to wind our way back down to the car. We chatted about what we were going to do next.
And with that, let's take our next break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Delia No Deal.
Delia No Deal. All right. So Delia No Deal.
Mm-hmm.
And her last name is No Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Who is she? What's her
deal?
Well,
I think it's Howie Mandel in drag.
Howie Mandel in drag.
Because he hosted Deal or No Deal.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
So he'd be Delia No Deal.
Delia No Deal. I think it's his drag act.
I like it.
I don't know much about him as a person or his politics, so maybe it couldn't be him.
I don't know.
But I, yeah.
I don't know, but I'm now imagining it.
Yeah.
It would be mm-hmm. fun. A mm-hmm. draggy Howie Mandel. Mm-hmm. Mandel.
Delia No Deal. And there would be cases, too, that people would have to open. It would be an involved drag. It would be a drag show where there were prizes.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be like, I kind of want, instead of money, it's other things mm-hmm. inside of the...
I don't think they're briefcases, though. They're makeup kits.
They're caboodles.
They're caboodles.
They're caboodles is what they are. And yep. they open, and then uh-huh. inside of them, it might be like, this is body glitter.
Yeah.
And inside of this, it's mm-hmm. some really ritzy makeup mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. inside... It's all drag stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I
but
like
But if you
that.
Got like a non-drag, very like... bland straight item, then you're out.
Oh, I see. Oh, so it's just like a fishing lure.
Yeah, it's a fishing lure.
It's That's a fishing it. Lure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then oh, and maybe like a
football,
like a koozie for like a can of beer.
Yeah, a beer koozie.
That something
would be
like that.
Yeah, those would be like the bum 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 uh-huh. items,
or like or like a keychain, but it's a little floating buoy.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one of those.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, or like a camo hat.
A bucket hat.
Ooh, a bucket hat. Mm. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
No.
The Gen Z have taken bucket hats and
they have
turned them into a thing.
I know.
Yeah. So, no, the bucket hat is probably like
icon.
a $5 queer mm-hmm, item, mm-hmm. I would have to say. Correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It would be like, oh, it's glittery overalls.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, you're still in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's... So she doesn't have merch. The merch is part of the game.
The merch is part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like Delia No Deals like emblem mm-hmm. on it or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her sort of notary public stamp of approval. Uh-huh.
Notary public.
Whatever that means.
Uh-huh. What does she sing though? What opens her act?
Well, I feel like...
Is it Money, Money, Money by ABBA?
It could be that. Mm-hmm. She Works Hard for the Money mm-hmm. by Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
I do need to acknowledge that I do feel like all of the items that we have like offered as like straight culture items could also be lesbian culture items. I do have to say mm-hmm. like beer koozies.
Sure.
Yeah. What else did we say?
Fishing lure.
Fishing lure.
Mm-hmm. You really went into the fishing. A keychain that looks like a buoy.
I mean, I'm just thinking about all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At all times.
At all times.
Yeah.
Or, oh, maybe like a big dumb hat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if we're going to lean into that.
Yeah.
Or a Starbucks cup.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Oh,
a Stanley cup. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if the gays have latched on to that.
I mean, I don't know that that has necessarily made it into the culture.
Yeah.
It has not been brought up as like a product that has been, like, you know, endorsed in the monthly meetings.
In the monthly newsletter.
No, they have not mentioned that. They have not mentioned that at all. So who knows? But I do feel like that would be part of the...
On Wikiqueerdia.
Wikiqueerdia. Wikiqueerdia has said nothing about it. I want you to know that. She's the one who writes the monthly news. She's the head of it. It's Wikiqueerdia.
And she said she sings "No One Mourns the Wicked."
That's right. That's right. Or "Witchy Woman," or like whatever else. Exactly. She's very Stevie Nicks in her performance work. Wikiqueerdia.
Wikiqueerdia.
Look, I love when another queen emerges inside of Drag Corner, just like organically. Because now we have Wikiqueerdia, who's in charge of the monthly newsletter. No, I've heard nothing about Stanley Cuffs from Wikiqueerdia.
Well, then they are a straight item.
I guess they are a straight item at this time. I would say a flannel, but no, that has been claimed by the queer world fully. And like, flannel is queer, period. In so many ways and in so many circles.
Yeah.
Sorry about it, straights. You had it for a minute, but you don't have it anymore.
No.
We have flannel has been claimed.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Delia No Deal and Wikiqueerdia.
So, we finished the Rankin Ridge Trail, and we had committed some time to doing Custer State Park, and then also at least driving by Mount Rushmore, the Mount Rushmore area. We have a lot of feelings about Mount Rushmore, and a lot of them are not great.
But we had heard a lot of great things about Custer State Park. You know, we had even been given some great hiking recommendations when we were in Glacier. So we were really trying to muster some energy here to go hiking there in the park.
And so we had assumed that the car ride from Rankin Ridge would give us a little energy back, especially since it was so hot out. And that sitting and not exerting ourselves and maybe like snacking a little bit would energize us a bit and make us feel a little bit more human. That was our assumption.
Yeah.
But what happened and how were you feeling at this time?
So I think this was like absolute, like this was like low point of the trip as far as energy. I think we sort of had done so much. We sort of were in overload. In a lot of ways, like visual overload, body tired overload. I just need
so much overload.
Like there was a lot of overload happening. So I was not really feeling great about
anything.
Well, I mean, that's my day to day. But no, I wasn't feeling great about like wanting to like do anything that was super exertion. Like there was a lot of exertion behind it on this day.
I was driving. I remember this. I was driving and I remember sitting there and like eating some snacks and like drinking some stuff. And like, I think we'd even stopped for more snacks or something at some point. And I just was like, where is this like second wind of energy?
Yeah.
Because it's not here.
No.
And it's not arriving.
No.
And the longer we drive, the more tired I feel.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah. Custer was not far from Windcave. It's only about 30 minutes to get sort of to the edge of Custer State Park. You know, the drive was helpful because the scenery was beautiful and epic, and it did give us like a little bit of excitement. But
and I am glad we did this drive.
Yeah.
The drive was great from Windcave to Custer. Essentially, we had to drive through the Black Hills in order to get near Custer.
I had mentioned it earlier in the episode. We had basically at, you know, this point had just been foot on the gas pedal basically the entire time. We hiked every day, and every day we weren't hiking, we were driving. Like
most of
there
the time
was
12 to 14 hours.
There was no stopping. And later when we recounted the story to Becky Lomax, she was like, yeah, no shit. You guys go and go and you don't build in any days off for yourself. So no wonder you were tired and like totally wrung out.
We
hadn't really
honest.
Accessed that part of us before.
At like, that moment, we were like, wait, rest days?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What's that? She was like, days where you intentionally don't do anything. You don't drive and you don't
hike.
And we both
were like, huh?
It was like that that gif of that woman doing math.
This was not something we thought about or experienced before. I was like, oh, is this our age showing a little bit? Because we had always up until this point just really put the pedal to the metal on every trip. There was no rest. Rest is for the weary.
Right.
And the weak. And on top of all of it, we had had a pretty crappy night of sleep before, considering we had to deal with the family reunion, Hootenanny.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The Hootenanny family. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about this moment when we drove by the entrance to Custer State Park, because we did drive by the entrance. Mm-hmm. And so we're driving along the road, and we had casually mentioned, we were like, yeah, I don't know if I have the energy to do mm-hmm. anything in Custer. So we're getting closer to the entrance and we're both looking at it. And then I just didn't pull in and just kept driving. And you were like, yeah, good call.
Yeah. So, I was like, well, we could do it tomorrow. We could do it tomorrow.
Yeah,
because we had our another day build for South Dakota.
We did. Yeah. And we were like, we could come back over here and do it tomorrow. Yeah. So I think that was our
sort of our out for the day.
Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In order to continue to head back toward Rapid City, which is slightly northeast of Custer and Wind Cave, but like another hour or so, and this was the way we were going to get back to where we were staying in Interior, we essentially had to go right by Mount Rushmore.
That's right. Okay, so we have a lot of feelings about Mount Rushmore.
We approached Mount Rushmore with trepidation as far as, what are we doing here with Mount Rushmore?
Or why Mount Rushmore at all? I mean,
why Mount Rushmore at all?
It was definitely like, I remember learning about it in school. Mm-hmm. And I always remember going like, what? There's got to be more to this. And it was never in our history textbooks.
No, ever. Never explained.
Ever, never mm-hmm. explained.
Just usually was like on the cover of our history textbooks. You know what I mean?
And this sort of like way of like celebrating and enshrining these white men. Mm-hmm. The very, very abbreviated version, this mountain was sacred to the Lakota people, and it was named the Six Grandfathers mm-hmm. for the six sacred directions, north, south, east, west, above, and below. Mm-hmm. And then in the 1920s, it was someone named Gutzon Borglum and also Dwayne Robinson, mm-hmm. who were like, hey, we could increase tourism to South Dakota mm-hmm. if we like did this giant thing here.
Sure.
And put these white men on this mountain. Mm-hmm. So
they
that's
did.
Right. Yeah. And they assaulted that mountain for 14 years mm-hmm. to put those faces up there.
Right.
We were not interested in like being like, oh my God, Mount Rushmore.
Right.
That
right.
was, we did no. not, that was not our journey this no. day. And our intention was really to just sort of drive by
yeah.
and see, is there any sort of anything here that's could like be a saving grace for us
sure.
as people who don't really care to visit Mount Rushmore
right.
for what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, when we got there, what did we encounter?
A $10 parking fee.
$10 parking fee.
Right.
A $10. And I have to say, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We went, I'm sorry, a $10 parking mm-mm. fee. I mean, if one is curious about seeing it, it's like visible from the road.
Well, the cool thing is that so from the Custer Road that we had taken, there was an offshoot sort of winding road that did take you way up into the hills.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are some vantage points of Mount Rushmore from a very, very, very far distance, which is in and of itself interesting just to see the mountain itself from that far.
Sure.
And so if that's what you, you know, came to do, then just do that. Like,
great.
You don't have to participate in the culture of that space.
The
which
$10 parking fee.
But I mean, aside from that, the like, you
oh,
know, the,
no, let's talk about driving down the hill near Mount Rushmore.
Oh, well, I mean,
let's talk about this, because let me explain to you, right? For weeks, after that evil, horrible, awful, disgusting human lost mm-hmm. the presidential election, mm-hmm. there were here in New Jersey, in front of a sporting goods store, there was like a huge gathering of
people. I mean,
people
for you, yes.
That would happen every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I would see them when I...
It, like an evil church gathering.
In the like, when I would be driving back from your house after recording. Mm-hmm. Oh my, stop the steal, so much, like blah, 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 on and on, on and on. Angry, just like Republican, like just flags everywhere, signs everywhere, like homophobia, racism, right and left.
Yeah.
And so like that was happening here in New Jersey.
Right. A rather blue state.
An incredibly blue state. Mm-hmm. And then when we drove down the hill from up there, mm-hmm. it was like that was everywhere.
I mean, we passed sort of through what was the tourist junction for Mount Rushmore, essentially.
Absolutely. And it's like,
and it was like, here are some hotels, here are some gift shops, here are some restaurants. But it was like across highway, essentially.
Yeah.
But and it was also like,
but the signs, the signage, there were so many, and people standing out there and like with his name everywhere, and like how they wanted his face to be on Mount Rushmore too, and like they had shirts made with his face on it, and the signs, and blah blah blah, on and on. It was so
triggering,
overwhelming that I was just like, I'm not getting out of the car here. No. All I can feel is hatred here.
Yeah.
I can feel the homophobia like from inside of this car. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was so much, and I just was like, no. I looked at you and I was like, we just have to go back like the campground.
Oh, absolutely.
I legitimately don't feel safe here.
I was weary of the world and on that day.
I could not at all. There mm-hmm. was no part of me feels safe around anyone who behaves like that.
Yeah.
Or supports anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we firmly make our exit. Do not even blink an eye.
No. We were like, okay.
Not participating.
There was no FOMO
in
that. It was just like, okay, great. On to the next thing. So this is where we basically have to make our way back to Rapid City in order to get back to Interior. So we are definitely, as we've said before in this episode, like we talk about being tired in episodes, but this is truly like we truly had felt all of the trip hit us at once. And then we had to deal with racism and homophobia and bigotry. So the tireds and the soul weariness were real. The next leg of our trip from South Dakota was to drive to St. Louis.
That's right. And what we had planned to do mm-hmm. is do a third day here in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we thought we might need a third day to do Custer.
Or Jewel Cave. Yeah.
Even though we found out Jewel Cave was mm-hmm, closed. And mm-hmm, then we were like, do we want to drive there anyway?
Right.
Do we not? And then we were like, well, maybe we go to Rapid City and do a day in Rapid City and just see what that's like. Because we were nearby there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And St. Louis was a 12 and a half hour drive, which would have turned into like a 15 hour
almost
drive.
Almost 15.
Yeah,
and
for
we were
sure.
like, okay.
This would have been our third epic drive through the trip because we had our first from Milwaukee to Theodore Roosevelt, which was like 15, and then like a 13 right. hour drive from there to Glacier. And this would have been probably the longest, if not close to the longest drive of the trip. And that deflated the both of us.
We were
in a way
so,
that we. Yeah. Like a soul crushing sort of way.
And then I think we both came to the conclusion at the same time we were like, or we could just leave.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. We could find something in the middle.
I was like, so I start researching and I was like, Omaha is 6 hours from here.
Yeah.
Omaha, Nebraska. I'm like, and Omaha is also only 6 hours from St. Louis.
Yeah.
I'm like, a 6 hour drive at this point in this trip was like hugely small potatoes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, a 6 hour drive sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, this is what we're going to do.
Let's see if I can book something.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to find a Holiday Inn and we are going to book ourselves a room at a place like
with
a
beds.
Holiday Inn with real beds and air conditioning and a shower and like a place with, you know, that's comfortable.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go there tomorrow and then not move.
Yeah. It'll be a rest day.
It'll be a rest day.
Yeah.
And you were like,
I love that.
Do it.
Exit be great.
Exit be great.
Exit
to quote Aaron Brockovich. It was so cool because we went to the I just went into the camp store when we got back to the campsite and I was like, hey, this is what we're thinking. And they were like, oh, yeah, we'll refund you for tomorrow if you're not going to stay tomorrow. You just
because
you've
canceled 24 hours before you would have checked in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's as a 24 hour notice and you're giving us more than that. And I was like, great. Okay, wonderful.
You're Capricorning.
We were able to get that day back,
mm-hmm.
which was, it's a campsite reservation, so it wasn't a ton of money, but we were able to use that to apply it to the hotel that we did book. And when I say we booked it, I mean we booked that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to go into this for just a moment. The next day, we got up, we packed everything. We didn't get up super early. I think we left around 9 a.m.
because we wanted to be considerate of people at the campsite.
Correct.
Yeah.
We got up and we
unlike
packed.
Some guests.
Correct. We made our way out around 9 a.m. And then we got there at around 3:30. Mm-hmm. And I think the room was ready at like 3:45. And when I say we walked into that room, we put our stuff in the room and we collapsed on those two beds. And then we legit did not move.
Yeah.
It was like silence for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember like going like, hey, so we should think about dinner. And you were like, we should. And then there was like another silence for another 30 minutes. And then we actually ended up eating our camp food in the hotel because we had no energy to go to a restaurant.
No, but we did have energy to get a brewery drink.
Go like to
a block away.
The brewery across the street, which was a wonderful time. And it was luckily across the street,
mm-hmm.
because there were some like restaurants down the street about a mile. And we were like, we don't want to walk there.
Yeah. No.
No. So we didn't. So we enjoyed Omaha for the evening from inside of a hotel room.
Let these sleepy girls put the two trails we did on the Karen Stone scale.
Let's do it. Okay, so the first one, the Prairie Loop Trail.
Yeah, two.
Two.
Yeah.
4 out of 20 Karen mm-hmm. Stones. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Rankin Ridge Trail.
I'm going to say there was more exertion here than Prairie Ridge, so I'm saying a 3.
I'm also going to say a 3.
Great. Brain sharing.
6 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Great.
Great. So let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes.
With some Jeopardy-style trivia.
Real quick, everybody. If you're listening for the first time, or if you're new to our podcast, and you're like, why do you end with Jeopardy-style trivia every mm-hmm. time? Mike and I write Jeopardy-style trivia for gatherings that we have with our friends. And also, it was one of the things that we like used to do to entertain ourselves. And so we would, and that sort of has made its way into
our practice here.
And it has since the very first episode.
It's true.
And so we always write a category of Jeopardy style trivia inspired by the trail we have just done.
Or the episode in general.
Mm-hmm. Mike, why don't you get us started?
Great. My Jeopardy is titled, Who's Tired? And it's all about sleep in films.
I'm ready for that.
Great. For 100, this movie is based around a character who is cursed with an extra long sleep all because her parents forgot to invite a dark enchantress to her baptism.
What is Rip Van Winkle? I'm kidding. No, it's Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Who they forgot to invite you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, because
true.
You
fools!
Are Maleficent.
Mm-hmm. For 200, this movie is all about trying not to fall asleep so a knife-gloved man in a red and green striped sweater doesn't murder you in your dreams, causing you to die in real life.
What is the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise? Really?
Correct,
it's
yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. For 300, this movie is all about trying to get people to stay asleep so you can invade their dreams and discover their secrets or implant an idea into their heads.
What is Inception?
Correct. For 400... this movie is about a couple getting rid of their memories of one another while asleep after a bad breakup, only to find each other all over again.
Oh, huh. I don't know that I know this movie. Did I not see this movie?
I think you've seen it, but maybe the clue is not
I
so good.
I don't know.
What's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Oh, I guess that is what that's about.
Yeah.
I just remember those performances were so good.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, like, the, like, mind space stuff was
mm-hmm.
all done practically.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I need to revisit that
I know. It's a good movie.
Such a good
Kate
movie.
Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Great, great, great.
Okay, great.
Performances. And for 500. The first rule about this movie is that you don't talk about this movie, considering that the main character's insomnia helps to create a dual personality that hatches a plot to erase everyone's debt.
What is Fight Club?
Correct.
That's right.
Yep.
Because we can't talk about it.
Mm-mm.
All right. Are you ready for my category?
Yep.
Okay, so I was inspired by the word wind.
Okay.
As a...
Beneath my wings?
Homonym.
Okay.
Okay, so we have homophones,
mm-hmm.
homonyms,
mm-hmm.
and homograms, I think is what it is.
Mm.
Okay, so it's homophones, homonyms, and homographs.
Okay.
Okay, so a homophone is the same sound, but a different spelling,
mm-hmm.
like eight and eight,
mm-hmm.
like
the number 8 and I ate something.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then homograph is the same spelling but a different sound. So like bass and bass.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fish mm-hmm. versus an upright instrument. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's the homonym, mm-hmm. which is the same sound, same spelling, but mm-hmm. different meanings. Mm-hmm. And this is a game on...
Au pair, like someone who takes care of people's children. No, it's the other one. There is no other one. No,
celebrity
oh, au pair.
Correct.
Yes. That's so, a very rock reference.
Okay, so an example of this would be, the two words are going to be side by side, and I'm describing something. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, a bended, crooked path taken by the breeze.
A winding, winding?
A wind wind. Wind
wind. Wind?
Okay, right, great. Exactly. So a wind wind okay. is the example.
Great.
Okay, so for 100, a timepiece with eyesight creates this.
A watch watch?
That's right.
Okay.
For 200, this is when water from the ocean laps onto the shore and greets you with a hello and a gesture.
A wave wave?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
For 300, a hole in the ground for water that is in impeccable health.
A well well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, isn't it?
Guard your wells well.
Mm-hmm. For 400, when this slick aquatic animal is also a notary public and gives its stamp of approval.
What is a seal seal?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is actually 3.
Oh.
Ready? This is what you'd call it if you were talking about different types of granola and nut bars, and you'd refer to this brand that is known for its wholesomeness. And on top of it, it was a bar that was compassionate and empathetic.
What is a kind, kind, kind?
That's right. So kind. So what is a kind the as type. In compassionate and pathetic? Mm-hmm. Kind meaning the
brand. The brand. Or the type.
No.
Oh.
No, the brand name.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
yeah.
then kind meaning the type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or another word for type.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a kind.
Kind, kind.
Kind, kind.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariello Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.